Chapter 5. We gathered at Jofurik, where the pathetic King Egbert was forced to inspect the Danes and wish them well. He rowed down the riverbank where the boats waited, and where the ragged crews lined on the shore and gazed at him scornfully, knowing he was not a real king. And behind him rode Kjartan and Sven, now part of his Danish bodyguard, though I assumed their job was as much to keep Egbert a prisoner as to keep him alive. Sven, a man now, wore a scarf over his missing eye, and he and his father looked far more prosperous. Kjartan wore mail and had a huge war axe slung on his shoulder, while Sven had a long sword, a coat of fox pelts and two arm rings. They took part in the massacre at Strandsholm, Ragnar told me. That was the large nunnery near Jofurik, and it was evident that the men who had taken their revenge on the nuns had made good plunder. Kjartan, a dozen rings on his arms, looked Ragnar in the eye. I would still serve you, he said, though without the humility of the last time he had asked. I have a new shipmaster, Ragnar said, and said no more. And Kjartan and Sven rowed on, though Sven gave me the evil sign with his left hand. The new shipmaster was called Toki, a nickname for Thorbjorn, and he was a splendid sailor, and a better warrior who told tales of rowing with the Sveyr into strange lands, where no trees grew except birch, and where winter covered the land for months. He claimed the folk there ate their own young, worshipped giants, and had a third eye at the back of their heads, and some of us believed his tales. We rowed south on the last of the summer tides, hugging the coast as we always did, and spending the nights ashore on East Anglia's barren coast. We were going toward the River Thames, which Ragnar said would take us deep inland to the northern boundary of Wessex. Ragnar now commanded the fleet. Ivar the Boneless had returned to the lands he had conquered in Ireland, taking a gift of gold from Ragnar to his eldest son, while Ubba was ravaging Dalriada, the land north of Northumbria. Small pickings up there, Ragnar said scornfully. But Ubba, like Ivar, had amassed so much treasure in his invasions of Northumbria, Mercia and East Anglia, that he was not minded to gather more from Wessex. Though, as I shall tell you in its proper place, Ubba was to change his mind later and come south. But for the moment, Ivar and Ubba were absent, and so the main assault on Wessex would be led by Halfdan, the third brother who was marching his land army out of East Anglia, and would meet us somewhere on the Thames. And Ragnar was not happy about the change of command. Halfdan, he muttered, was an impetuous fool, too hot-headed. But he cheered up when he remembered my tales of Alfred, that confirmed that Wessex was led by men who put their hopes in the Christian God, who had been shown to possess no power at all. We had Odin. We had Thor. We had our ships. We were warriors. After 4 days, we came to the Thames, and rowed against its great current as the river slowly narrowed on us.